It's time now for World Watchers International with Mae Brussel, who for over 17 years has investigated and exposed political conspiracies worldwide. World Watchers International originates at KLRB, Carmel, California. Here's Mae.
Good evening. This is Mae Brussel in Carmel, California. It's broadcast number 523, December the 13th, 1981. There are a few items in the news I want to just mention briefly and maybe get back to them in detail later on. A few stories about deaths, threats against the police chief investigating the Eugene Tafoya charges in Fort Collins, Colorado. He was convicted of attempting to murder a fellow from Libya. And two people from the CIA, attorney Jerry Johnson and Barbara Pollack, two attorneys, threatened the police chief in Fort Collins. They said, "You've gone too far. Back off from the investigation." And the CIA was threatening Ray Martinez, the police detective on the case. They wanted to stop the links of the CIA to this particular murder or attempted murder charge, but they were threatening the police detective. There was a long article in the Los Angeles Times this week, another one on Samuel Cummings, always an important character. The article describes the world's number one dealer in arms, and it tells how he is the brother-in-law of Senator John Tower, chairman of the Senate Armed Services Committee, the man who sells the most arms privately to countries and individuals all over the world, is in London. He worked for the CIA and still does. He's in London, and the brother-in-law of Senator John Tower. I just wanted to update the Hearst story. Patty Hearst was on television this week, and there were articles in the newspaper this week that the Hearst family paid $300,000 settlement to the husband of Myrna Opsahai, O-P-S-A-H-I. That woman was pregnant, the mother's four small children, and she was murdered in front of the Crocker Bank in Carmichael, California in 1975, and the Hearst family paid $300,000, or the great bulk of that, for the settlement in this case. And also the U.S. Attorney James Browning said that at the time of the prosecutions of the SLA, he had enough information to indict Jack Scott, who took Patty Hearst and the Harrises to New York and Pennsylvania. But Jimmy Carter, the president, told him just the Justice Department should not proceed with the convictions. I'll update those later. I really want to get on to part two on the John Lennon murder, but I wrote about the SLA as the CIA, and now pieces of information are coming out that would confirm my early allegations, and the U.S. attorney is speaking, and also in Patty's book, she tells of her relationship with the Harrises. I just can't resist, before I get on to the Lennon story again, or the murder of John Lennon, to run down the news of that Libya hit team that Ronald Reagan is trying to push on us, because it's so sad that it does require a few words just to show the kind of confrontation that Ronald Reagan and Alexander Haig want to put up, and how they can cause so many people to be disarranged and move back from Libya. On December the 3rd, Ronald Reagan, these are the headline stories, "Reagan can't dismiss the Libyan threat." December the 4th, "Libyan hitmen land in the United States to kill Reagan." December the 5th, "The Libya assassin squad arouses concern in the White House. Tight security for Reagan aides." December the 7th, "U.S. report on Libya hit squad is doubted." This is the Washington Post. Another headline, "Gaddafi sees himself as the target." And then, "Gaddafi, no plot to kill Reagan." December the 8th, "United States as evidence of a Gaddafi plot. The president says he has proof of the plot." December the 9th, "The notorious killer tied to the hit team." And that's what really grabbed me during this week, when they brought out old Carlos the Jackal. And I'll go into that in a second, because for the last two or three years, I've been talking about the links of Carlos to the Central Intelligence Agency. Jack Anderson has written about his protection by the agency, his links to that same Samuel Cummings, the arms merchant in London, his links to Frank Turple and George Corcula. and Edwin Wilson and all of the CIA people who've made the headlines for so long. And all of a sudden, they leave out from the news any links of Carlos to the CIA and make him a notorious leftist terrorist from the Soviet Union and from Gaddafi. Now, the pathetic thing about this is that the CIA trained Carlos the Jackal, and at that time period, George Bush was director of the CIA. Then the CIA, if these stories were true, is coming back to kill Ronald Reagan because they couldn't do it in March of 1981. The stories about Carlos and his past leave out any link to all the headlines and stories of the past 2 years of Carlos to the CIA-trained teams. The December 9th article's headlines went on, Libyan hit squad, it doesn't wash. Some papers were doubting it. U.S. warns Gaddafi to drop his plot. Libya labels assassin reports the product of the CIA fantasy farm. December the 10th, attacks on Gaddafi backfire in the Middle East. We're losing our credibility in a few more countries. December the 11th, Americans in Libya say they feel safe there. They said today, I think it was today, they feel more safe there than in the United States. Headline, Soviet forces mass for Libyan maneuvers. Another one, Mexican border watch intensifies. Another one, Mr. Edwin Meese in San Francisco says, we can't ignore Gaddafi. Another headline that same day, Americans urged to leave Libya, and then, of course, they were forced to leave. December the 12th, leave Libya, Reagan says. OPEC spurns the Libya's anti-U.S. move. Another headline, the border alerted for Carlos. Another one, Israel said to be the major source of the Libyan hit team. With our $22 billion CIA budget and their franchise businesses, the CIA didn't have any information. Now they're blaming Israel for giving the information. They'll be the fall guy that they said Carlos was here. And then December the 13th, today, Libya's Gaddafi may be erratic, but he's no madman or a pushover. And another article that the Europeans are dealing with Libya the same as before. And it goes on to explain that London is sending workers to the oil fields if the United States is forcing them to come home. On Saturday Night Live, they said that Ronald Reagan is bringing home the people who are living in Libya, and they're sending the airport control tower people over to work in the oil fields, and he's going to put them on the job, those 1,200. That was pretty funny. Ronald Reagan, last week I talked about some of his problems in the White House besides his terrible Carlos the Jackal, who's after him, and we'll go into his cabinet just briefly because he does have his problems, and I mentioned a few of them. One of them, the U.S. still continuing probe of CIA chief. It's underway. This is December the 12th. William Casey didn't tell the countries that he represented as a lobbyist for these various countries at his confirmation hearings and the companies he represented. The Justice Department is still looking into CIA Director William Casey. Donovan probe is confirmed by White House. Links of Secretary of Labor Raymond Donovan to bribery by union officials. Reagan's group made a $1 million error in their financing. This was a Associated Press story this week. There was a bookkeeping mistake on the money they had, but the Federal Elections Committee won't make them return it. He got over $1 million more than he accounted for or said he got. Another headline, a big story, Reagan switched to macaroni. If you write to the White House and want a recipe, the First Lady used to give out her favorite recipe with crab, but people thought that was too expensive. So if you write now, you get a recipe for macaroni. Lenore Annenberg is leaving. She's chief of protocol, New York Times. She's going back to her husband. She misses him, but she's wounded by reports that she's bungling things. And she's the lady who arranged that Middle East funeral trip with Gerald Ford and Jimmy Carter and Richard Nixon at the time Sadat was murdered. Another story, Reagan finance aide wants the dismissal of William Niskanen, N-I-S-K-A-N-E-N. He's one of the financial advisors for Ronald Reagan, and Senate Budget Director Pete Domenici wants him out. He is making statements about finances, inflation that have no truth, and they're asking for his removal. And, of course, we heard part of John Ehrlichman's book this week, The White House, Nixon Accused of Racial Bias. He said, regard to blacks, we should still do what we could for them within reasonable limits because it's right to do so, but they're genetically inferior to whites. This was part of his conversation. And, of course, Alexandra Haig, a big headline this week. Haig wants joint action on Cuba. And then the headline says he cites Nicaragua as a threat to peace. Haig is jumping all over the globe. He was on his way to Israel and for the trying to get that Middle East peace settlement going. And he's got one foot into Poland. I won't even spend time on that right now. He would like to start a war around Cuba, Nicaragua, and also Libya at the same time. They're so crazy. They're acting almost like drunkards that it's hard to take them seriously. It's hard to know where they'll strike first, but they seem just to be like a temper tantrum, wanting to strike out a lot of countries, including Grenada, and he has a foot in all the pies. Just any little war will satisfy him, and that will have them in control. So they kind of make a statement in one country, and then they're pulled out, and today it's Poland, and last week it was Libya. And the headlines are in Poland today. Last week, I talked on the anniversary of the death of John Lennon, what I called Part One, the assassination teams from President Kennedy to John Lennon. And in order to understand who murdered John Lennon, you have to go back into history of the characters who wanted him out of this country, who disliked rock music, who compare rock music to Satan, and particularly the politics of John Lennon and the amount of people that he could recruit for peace demonstrations or just the idea of peace. I talked about a little bit about Richard Allen's Japanese connections, and I'm going into more of that because the role of Richard Allen to Fred Fielding to the Japanese mafia to Robert Vesco, the American mafia, and organized crime, because the mafia are the hit teams, is very important, and Richard Allen's name is in the news so much that it's important to bring it up to date and relate it to what John Lennon was doing or Mark David Chapman was doing and interweave the dates of where they touched bases with each other. And I'll do that as best I can by just going into Richard Allen this evening so that maybe you can get some view of who he is, and then put Chapman and John Lennon into that time slot, some of it later and some as I go along. Incidentally, in Maryland, of all places, probably near the CIA headquarters at Landover, Maryland, there was a murder right outside the Rolling Stones concert this week. They couldn't pull another Altamont, but a fellow went to the concert, and he was told by his mother, please don't go out there, she told the Associated Press. It's too dangerous. People always get hurt at those Stones concerts. And he said, oh, Ma, don't worry. And wouldn't you know that he went to the event and he got a gunshot wound outside and they took him off to the hospital. He was dead. And, of course, the mother had the last word. Don't you always know they get killed at the Stones concerts? I think that these things have a tremendous effect upon people, psychological effect, and I truthfully believe they're manipulated and that nobody's going to walk up to somebody and just shoot them outside a concert. And then it gets the wire services, and it goes on and on how dangerous it is to attend these concerts. What they didn't have in the newspaper this week, and I heard on the radio, was that Mick Jagger was almost killed in a head-on car crash, that he survived that, and then canceled the next concert, that he was in upstate New York and was in a crash. But you don't get much in the newspaper about how they're almost killed or killed, but you get articles about how damaging they are as musicians. Well, now getting to Richard Allen and who he is and some stories about him that I think that are very important. Richard Allen went to Notre Dame University and got a BA and MA 1957. 1958, and I think I mentioned last week that he worked for the Helm Foundation, which was described simply as a study group that has to be an intelligence training period from 1958 to 1960. And in almost every single biography of an intelligence person or person suspected of working for Army or Navy intelligence or the CIA, there's what I call the missing 2 years that are unaccountable when they get their training. And many times you've heard me refer to those 2 years out of their chronology. Well, whatever the Helm Foundation was, he was with it from 1958 to 1960. And then he goes to Germany 1960 to 61 in Munich, where he works allegedly on a doctorate, but doesn't come home with a doctorate. But that is the same time period where Otto von Bollschwang, who under the cloak of ITT and Warner Lambert and the Republican Party and the Galen operation, working with Adolf Hitler's SS and the CIA, von Bollschwang comes to this country and then gets a lot of money and backing and goes back to Germany to route up a lot of money for the Galen operation that will be used in this country noticeably is when John Kennedy was murdered and then for other assassinations after that. So he goes to Germany at the same time that von Bollschwang is over there, and he allegedly is getting a doctor's degree, but he comes home without it. So this could have been 2 more years of training with Hitler's chief of intelligence, Reinhard Galen. Because later, when I go into the Japanese connection of Richard Allen, one of his close contacts was with a Japanese war criminal who was released, Okinori Kaya, K-A-Y-A, who was part of the Japanese war crime group, convicted or listed as one of the most important war criminals, who then meets with Mr. Allen and has a long relationship with Takeo Fukuda, who became the prime minister of Japan and was part of a Fukuda group. I guess you could compare them to the Barry Goldwater, the far, far right behind the scenes manipulative relationship. And Fukuda and Takasi, the gentleman who sets up that alleged photographic interview with Nancy Reagan, but it's much deeper and we'll go into that. Richard Allen is working with people who were involved with war crimes, just as von Bollschwang was also with Adolf Eichmann. So his tentacles go to the very deepest fascist links of both German and Japanese intelligence from Hitler's intelligence operation. So he has 2 years from 59 to 60 that, or 58 to 60 that really have no description in biographies that I can find yet, but we'll fill in later. And then from 60 and 61 in Germany. And then he comes back to the United States to Georgia Tech and becomes an assistant professor. Well, there's not much money in being assistant professor, and he didn't even have a PhD. So it'd be interesting to know what his expertise was, what he taught, or whether that also is a cover, because down in Georgia, this was the time of the Bay of Pigs and a CIA operation in Georgia and Lockheed, that he later becomes strongly affiliated with Lockheed, which under the guise of Howard Hughes and Lockheed set up assassination teams that Allen later is directly linked into. So what he taught at, came back from Germany, what he taught at the University of Georgia Tech, rather, I don't know. But after Georgia Tech, in 1962, he becomes the founder and the senior staffer of Georgetown Center for Strategic and International Studies. And I've mentioned this group. Out of there comes Gene Kirkpatrick and the Mellon, Richard Mellon Scaife operation, and people like Borchgrave, who wrote The Spike, and the far right-wing literature that is coming out of Georgetown, the CIA front, the Defense Department, from the group that Henry Kissinger was sent to from Harvard to work with out of a really non-existent profession. How could he become the founder of the senior Georgetown and be a senior staffer of Georgetown Center for Strategic International Studies? I think this is important because that Center for Strategic and International Studies would possibly or probably, or I should say, was then founded by the same man behind Adolf Eichmann, this Otto von Bollschwang, and Reinhard Galen. If Galen could come from Hitler's Germany in 1945 and set up our National Security Council and our CIA, Richard Allen later becomes the director of the National Security Council with this fuzzy background, and absolutely, how would he have the funding, and where did the funds come from that started this particular study group that was ready, founded in 1962, the year before John Kennedy was murdered, and was ready to control our government, certainly politically and strategically. As soon as John Kennedy was murdered and the framework was set for the other political assassinations, they would be able to flow in when a person like Ronald Reagan came to power or Richard Nixon in 1968 and be their advisors. And from Georgetown University, where he comes back from Europe and Germany, and as this large amount of money is being raised by von Bolschwing and the Galen operation, he goes in 1966 to the Hoover Institute on War, Revolution, and Peace. It's more about war than peace, in Palo Alto, Stanford, and gets his strong anti-communist, anti-Entente training. Now, it's while he's at Stanford University that he meets Mr. Takase, his Japanese friend, and Takase is the link between the Japanese war criminals and the major industries, the automobile and the energy, and various dummy fronts that could be military intelligence or Japanese mafia later in Japan. It's at the Hoover Institute that he meets Mr. Takase. Then Takase goes home to Japan, and the wheels start rolling for Allen and his Japanese contacts over there. Takase is sent by this clique of the far-right Japanese people that had invaded, bombed us at Pearl Harbor, made allies with Nazi Germany, and so forth. And Mr. Takase is over from Japan in Palo Alto from 1966. That's where he meets with Richard Allen, and they have several years there where they're training together and learning about war, particularly war. Now, in San Francisco in 1966, August 29th, at the exact time that Richard Allen, with unknown funds or background, is at the Hoover Institute with Mr. Takase, the Lennons, John Lennon and the Beatles, give their last concert in San Francisco, August the 29th, 1966. We attended that concert. We took all of our children and were there that evening when they flew out of Candlestick Park in San Francisco, and that was the last time the Beatles were together. And about 20 miles below Candlestick Park, or 30 miles, I forget now, I should know, I went to Stanford, is the Hoover Institute, and that's where Takase and Allen were meeting. 1966 was the last concert of the Beatles, and also in 1966, John Lennon met Yoko Ono. Her name was Cox at the time, C-O-X. She was divorced or separated from her husband. He met her, Yoko Ono, whose family is an interesting family. I don't have too much on them. They're very wealthy, almost as wealthy as the Beatles, into ammunition and armament in Japan. Yoko Ono from Japan meets John Lennon. The Beatles have their last concert at Candlestick Park. And at this time, Spiro Agnew joins Richard Nixon's campaign, and Richard Allen also joins Richard Nixon as the advisor and director of foreign policy. Richard Nixon's going to run for president in 1968, and Thane Caesar from Lockheed, again from Lockheed, because Mr. Allen is very heavily involved with Lockheed pretty soon. Thane Caesar shoots Robert Kennedy from the back of the head. He's a safe security guard from Lockheed. And in 1968, the man running against Richard Nixon will be out of the way and dead, and they'll have their convention in 1968. Robert Kennedy was killed in June 68, and if there were a decent Democrat, they would have demanded that the elections be called off until they find out who killed Robert Kennedy, and we never would have had Richard Nixon or Ronald Reagan if we had done this. In 1968, Richard Allen was accused of sending signals, covert signals, to Vietnam, and this was along with Madame Chenault and others, to go slow on the war, don't end the war so quickly, because when Richard Nixon had a campaign issue later, it would be good to wind down the war in Vietnam. He was accused of interfering with peace and tampering with peace during this time period so that they would have some issue to beat the Democratic candidates later. That also involves Spiro Agnew and, as I say, Madame Chenault and other people. And in 1968, when Richard Nixon was president, he appointed Richard Allen to be the senior staff member, not the chief of the National Security Council, but his senior staff member of the National Security Council from 1968 to 1969. That was the time period where John Lennon was busted. He had some binoculars at his house. There was marijuana in the binoculars. And in London, John Lennon was busted in 1968. And also in 1967, at the time that Richard Allen was joining the Richard Nixon campaign and so forth, and the Beatles had left California, they went back to London. In 1967, Brian Epstein, their manager, was killed in a car crash that literally demolished and broke up the Beatles emotionally at the time being. As I say, John met Yoko in 66. Their last concert was in 66. And in 67, their manager, who arranged so much for them, was killed in a car crash. Richard Allen was working for Richard Nixon. Robert Kennedy was killed. And we're on to 1968. By 1969, Richard Allen left that National Security Council appointment. Nixon was in 1 year, and he worked for the International Resources Limited, which could be a dummy front. Now, I don't really know what National Resources Limited is, Richard Allen, but his background so far is so vague that it's... And what follows later with the connections that fill in, that you, it's a very good chance that International Resources Limited is like the export-import bank being used by IG Farben and the Nazi intelligence, again, for spy systems. Now, in 1969 is when the Nugenhand Bank was started, that William Colby of the CIA would be set up with, and William Paisley had direct contact with. Paisley was involved in the murder of John Kennedy with Navy intelligence and Oswald in the Soviet Union. 1969, this bank began to be formed. It was a combination of heroin, traffic, cocaine, Southeast Asia drugs, the CIA, and the assassination teams. And money went from Southeast Asia and Laos and Cambodia into Australia to that particular bank. Henry Kissinger was a national security advisor. He was a protege of Fritz Kramer, another Nazi from Germany. Richard Allen wanted the job, but he didn't get it because he was too much of a hardliner for Richard Nixon. This is our national security advisor at the time. In 1979 is when Brian Jones died. He had been in the company of a man from California, a CIA man who brought drugs to the Rolling Stones, and he died in England in 1969. And in 1969 is when Mr. Takassi was working with Richard Allen. He had met him at the Hoover Institute, and now he's working with him to bring in textiles to the United States. In 1969, they're beginning their trade. In 1970, Richard Allen is working with the King Empire from Texas, oil, gas, and gas drillings. And John King was connected with stock fraud. Richard Allen's record wasn't so totally clean then, or Watergate or other times, but he gets himself out of these situations. The King family had to do with minerals, affiliated with minerals. And in 1970, he was a member of Richard Nixon's Presidential Commission on International Trade and Investment Policy. And then he sent to Japan to his friend, Mr. Takase, who shows up later with this bribe question that may pull him out of national security appointment because it goes way beyond that. And he's working under the guise of Lockheed, and he's using Lockheed as a cover and Grumman airplanes. And at the time, with Lockheed, Edwin Wilson and Frank Chirpel and Thane Caesar were working for Lockheed, as I say, through this time period. The Howard Hughes assassination teams were, and with Robert Mayhew, the hit teams of the CIA and organized crime, worked under Lockheed, and Mr. Richard Allen was working with these connections of Lockheed and Grumman. Earlier, 15 years before, he had met Takassi and at Stanford, and now they were operating at a different level, selling contracts for Grumman airplanes to Japan, and he was pressuring them 2 years later to donate $1 million to Nixon's campaign. And then Grumman would get airplane contracts, and then Allen would pressure the Japanese to buy the Grumman airplanes. Give Richard Nixon $1 million. I'll get your airplane contracts from Japan. So Allen had a lot of clout with Japan, and he guaranteed them if they got their Nixon in, reelected, then they'd be sure to get the airplane contracts, because that's what the wars are about. They're not just there to move boundaries on the globe. They're to make money and so forth. September the 18th of 1970, Jimi Hendrix died in London. October the 3rd, 1970, Janis Joplin died in Los Angeles. In 1971, Jim Morrison died in Paris. The rock musicians were beginning to go. In a March 1971, Richard Allen made a trip to Japan. He worked for the White House plumbers, and Nixon called him in to help plug these leaks. In 1972, at the time of Watergate, he was getting contacts with Robert Vesco, and this is very important because of information of his contacts going back to the Watergate period with Robert Vesco, and how he leaves Richard Nixon and latches on to the Miami organized crime Vesco contacts for such a long period before he ends up again as our advisor to National Security Council. He is working, he has left Mr. King, he's back at the White House, he's deputy assistant to President Nixon again on international trade, and he's working also making deals in Japan with Richard Nixon. We'll take a one-minute break, and we'll go back to Richard Allen, a very important person, I believe, to the John Lennon murder story.
This concludes the first half of World Watchers International with Mae Brussel. We will return with the second half after a brief pause.